Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my mom stars is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money, or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay, lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old, if the rep get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monstar, top of flavor, fluid, so clean flow.
Rocket Nation, what is going on? Welcome to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We are live to 9 p.m. tonight. Rocket is here with you, and we are going to have some freaking fun. This is going to be a very interesting episode because tonight, for the first time, we will be previewing two sports playoff cases, one in the NBA and the other in the NHL, and I'm looking forward to it personally. because this is it. We've come to the end of the rainbow, folks. The end of the regular seasons are here. NHL season has ended. The NBA season will be over by tonight. We got some NBA games that are going to be in progress. We actually still got some playoff positions. All the playoff spots have been determined. 8 teams in the East, 8 teams in the West. They have all been clinched. And as you can see, we still got some positions that need to be determined. And so what's going to happen is these games, some of these games tonight, are going to determine who's going to get in and who's not going to get in. So with that being said, it's game time, y'all. It's game time. And I've been waiting for this for quite some time now. Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I really can't speak on it, but it's awesome. It's awesome. So that's what we got going on tonight. We also have some NFL news to report. We got one guy who, what can I say? He's gotten into trouble again. And we also have baseball games that are in progress. Got some games happening, some games that are going to be going down tonight. And I'm looking forward to it. We also got some college players that are declaring for the NBA draft. A few of them I don't think are ready personally. And we're going to discuss that a little bit. So that's going to be one of the things going down tonight. So that's something to look forward to. And I'm excited. I'm just excited for this entire show. And I think we're gonna have some fun. But as usual, we do like to start off the show with some birthdays. And I would like to start by wishing a happy birthday to none other than Mr. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a.k.a. The Sky Hook. What's not to know about the guy? I mean, the guy has done so much in the game of basketball, both as a player, as a mentor, coach, a trainer. He's done it all, and he certainly lived up to career expectations. Coming out of the University of UCLA, being drafted first pick overall by the Milwaukee Bucks in 1969. He played 20 seasons. He spent the first 6 years with Milwaukee, but really made a name for himself with the LA Lakers. Although he did win a championship in Milwaukee, but he became more of a household name with the Los Angeles Lakers. Turned 67 today, and you know, he's getting better with age. The man has battled cancer. The man has done so much. He's a book author. He's been in films and television shows. He's done so much. He's accomplished a lot. He's a 6-time NBA champion, 2-time NBA Finals MVP, 6-time NBA regular season MVP, a 19-time All-Star. That might be a record. In fact, it is actually 19 times he's been an All-Star. That's awesome. That is awesome. He's a 10-time All-NBA first team, a 5-time All-NBA second team, a 5-time NBA All-Defensive first team, a 6-time NBA All-Defensive second team. He was the NBA Rookie of the Year in 1970 and also was on the NBA All-Rookie team. 2-time scoring champion, 4-time blocks leader. He led the league as the rebounding champion in 1976. He today still stands as the Milwaukee Bucks all-time leading scorer. Hell, he's the NBA all-time leading scorer still. And he had both his number 33 retired by both Milwaukee and the Los Angeles Lakers. That's pretty awesome. He was named to the NBA's the 50th anniversary all-time team. And, you know, he's still here. He is still here. So congratulations to him. And happy birthday. Happy birthday to the Sky Hook. Happy birthday to the Sky Hook. So, and he's getting better with age, whether people want to believe that or not. Whether people want to believe that or not, he's getting better with age. Happy birthday to him. So, we also have another birthday shout-out. Happy birthday to Jonathan Vilma. linebacker of the New Orleans Saints. He has, he's had an up and down career. You know, he's gotten into some trouble, you know, with the whole bounty scandal or whatever. Right now, he's actually currently a free agent. He's been in the league for 10 years now. He was drafted in 2004 out of the University of Miami, Florida. He was the first round pick. He was the second, 12th pick overall by the New York Jets. Played 3 years there and then came over to the Saints in 2008 and really made a name for himself. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He's the AP NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2004. Won a Super Bowl with the Saints. NFL Combined Tackles Leader in 2005. He won the Ed Block Courage Award in 2008. And he was on the University of Miami team that was in the 2001 BCS National Championship. As of 2013, career stats are 871 career tackles, 10 and a half sacks, 12 interceptions, and 11 forced fumbles. But we all know what he was best known for with the whole bounty scandal. And if you hadn't read up on it, I suggest you do. It's something that involved him gratefully. Former defensive coordinator of the Saints, Greg Williams. A few of the players on the defensive side of the ball, head coach Sean Payton, general manager Mickey Loomis, and even owner Tom Benson. So there was just some serious problems, you know, with some of the players, most notably Scott Fujita, who moved on to Cleveland, defensive end Will Smith, and defensive end Anthony Hargrove. And as of last year, he went through an arthroscopic knee surgery in preseason and was placed on injured reserve. So he was actually reactivated about halfway through the season. And then he actually only played in really one game, and that was against his former team, the Jets, in the losing effort. Only played 12 defensive snaps, and then the following week he was again placed on injured reserve, which ended his 2013 season. He was cut from the team just 2 months ago, and now he is looking for a new team. Say what you want about the guy. He's been a tremendous football player, tremendous talent, and you have to wish him the best, whichever team he ends up going to. Happy birthday to Bill Belichick. Yeah, another guy that's been known for some particular situations that occurred football-related, you know, with the whole Spygate or whatever. He turned 62 today. Jonathan Vilma, by the way, he turns 32 today. But Bill Belichick, he is a three-time AP NFL Coach of the Year, five-time Super Bowl champion. He won two as an assistant with the Giants behind Bill Parcells, and, of course, three as a head coach of the Patriots. Right now, his regular season, as a coach, he's won 196 regular season games, 19 in the postseason, and he's won three Super Bowls. He's won five AFC championships. This guy started out as a special assistant coach for the Baltimore Colts in 1975. So next year, it'll be more than 40 years. It'll be 40 years as an NFL head coach. So congratulations to him and happy birthday to him. Well, we are going to take our first big break. And when we come back, we're going to start to break down the NHL and the NBA playoffs and more, including Alden Smith. Boy, that boy, seriously, he's got some problems, man. He's got some problems, y'all. So we're going to talk about and more here on the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. And as usual, we will be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is here with you. We are on air till 9 p.m. We're almost approaching 7:30. And I want to take the opportunity to now get into the whole NHL playoff preview because I don't think hockey is getting enough love these days. Yeah, it might be a little bit of a boring sport, but I watch a little hockey. You know, I get into it, you know, like anybody else would. So, like true hockey fans. Now, basically, all the first-round matches have been pretty much put out there. So, basically, what's happening is we got a couple games. We actually got some games that are going to be taking place tonight. The first game, actually, we got one game, and I'm just scrolling down the list right now. We got three games that are happening tonight. So one of the first games that's going to be happening, the first game is actually going to be the Montreal Canadiens against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That game takes place tonight at 7 p.m. At 7:30, we got the Columbus Blue Jackets against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we have at 10 p.m., Dallas Stars against the Anaheim Ducks. That game takes place at 10 p.m. I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to make my playoff previews because I think that there might be an upset or two in the first round. And I say that because I think we are on the verge of seeing teams that can emerge, seeing some teams that can go out there and do some things and just make some plays happen. Actually, that Montreal-Tampa Bay game just tipped off about a few minutes ago, so they're currently in the first period. So that game is just kicked off. You can check that out on your local station. For those of you who are hockey fans, I'm pretty sure there are some of you out there who are, and I'm getting into it. I've been into hockey quite a bit, especially when the playoffs occur, especially during the postseason. That's when things get more intense, and that's when things make more opportunities. So I'm just going to go on and make my predictions because, you know, I may not be a full figurehead when it comes to hockey, but I know some of these teams that can go out there and just make some noise. So this is what I think is going to happen. In the Eastern Conference, I'm going to take the Red Wings to upset the Bruins in the first round. And if anybody knows what it's like to be upset, it's the Red Wings. There came a time when they were a number one seed in the playoffs, and they lost to the Edmonton Oilers, who were a number eight seed. And I was stunned. This was a long time ago, by the way, but I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned that it happened. And so now in this case, I think Boston, they're going to have the toughest matchup out of every team in the first round, like all the higher seeded teams. Because Detroit's no joke. This is their 23rd straight playoff appearance, which is an NHL record and a professional sports record, actually. So I think that Detroit has the tools. I know they're not going to have Zetterberg. I know that, but they're going to have Pavel Datsyuk back, and they still got some other valuable players on that team. To me, they got enough to take Boston. I know that Boston is a special team. They're a tough team to beat, but I like the Red Wings' chances. I say the Red Wings win, and I say they actually win in six games. I'm going to give them six victories. Tampa Bay versus Montreal is going to be a very intriguing matchup. A very intriguing matchup. Because I think both teams have a certain sense of identity. And so it's a series that could go seven games. And I'm actually going to take Tampa Bay. I'm going to take Tampa Bay to beat Montreal in seven games. I got the Pittsburgh Penguins beating the Columbus Blue Jackets. I got them winning in five. I'll give Columbus at least one game. The New York Rangers versus Philadelphia Flyers, that matchup to me could possibly go either way. So I'm going to take Philadelphia to win in seven. I think that's a series that can go seven games. That might be the only series that goes seven games in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, I got the Anaheim Ducks against the Dallas Stars. I got the Dallas Stars winning. I got them pulling off an upset. Yeah, that's going to be my upset in the Western Conference. You heard it from me. San Jose Sharks against the LA Kings. I got the Sharks winning in seven. I think that's going to go seven games at least. You know, for sure, at least six. No more than seven, of course. But I think that's going to be a long series. Colorado versus Minnesota Wild. I've always hated the Avalanche, but I got to take them in this series because I think Minnesota is going to be a tough matchup for them. I got the Avalanche winning, and I got them winning in 6 games. And the St. Louis Blues and the Chicago Blackhawks, well, Blackhawks, you know, whether team, whether you like them or not, you know, they're a good team, and I actually got them winning in 5. I will give St. Louis, actually, I take that back. I got St. Louis winning in 5 games. I got St. Louis winning in 5 games. I think Chicago is going to exit early, unlike they did last year. I think their run is going to end in this matchup here. You heard that from me, folks. You heard that from me. I just think that when it comes to making NHL playoff predictions, most fans, they tend to not know. Like myself, we don't always know about who's going to break out. Because to me, hockey is just tough to predict. You never know who's going to beat who. That's what makes it so unpredictable. I did not give Chicago a shot to do much last year. I thought it was going to be 2 different teams in the Stanley Cup Finals. I didn't give Boston much of a chance either, but I think they were inspired by what happened at the Boston Marathon, which actually occurred 1 year ago yesterday. And again, my thoughts and prayers go out to the victims, the ones who were injured, the ones who were lost and no longer here with us, and to those families and friends and loved ones of those particular individuals. So that's how I think it's going to happen. I think this is going to be quite an interesting showdown. All these games are going to be interesting showdowns. So, seriously, if you're going to make predictions, you know, good luck to your teams that are competing and good luck to your teams that have a shot to win. So I'm just looking at some of these guys. A lot of these guys, they're predicting, they're pretty much with me a little bit, you know, except the Boston-Detroit series. I got one person that picked Detroit so far, you know, and I got somebody on there. Everybody's picking Pittsburgh to win their matchup. Some people, it's kind of almost, it's more people picking the Rangers to win the Philadelphia. It's split between Tampa Bay and Montreal. Like I said, those two teams, that matchup can really go either way. And don't be surprised if it goes 6 or 7 games. I really don't know who's going to win that matchup. I really can't see that. And then in the West, you got mostly everybody's picking Colorado, you know, all the hockey experts. It's kind of split just about between Chicago and St. Louis, but it's more of Chicago than it is St. Louis. So I'll give them that for sure. And then you got Anaheim and Dallas. There's mostly a lot of people on Anaheim. You got a couple people that are picking Dallas to win that matchup. And then San Jose and L.A., it's almost split. So that's a matchup that possibly could go either way. That could go a minimum of 5 games. It could definitely go the maximum of 7. So, and now we got three games that are taking place tonight. We got one game that's already in progress. We'll keep you updated as the show progresses. Currently, Montreal and Tampa Bay are both scoreless in the first period. We got Columbus and Pittsburgh. That game's getting ready to tip off in just a few minutes. And then later on tonight, we got Dallas and Anaheim. So, again, good luck to all those teams. And, you know, big ups. Big ups to whoever comes out and wins. And then tomorrow night, we have 4 games that are expected to be in progress. So, and all these games are going to be, obviously, all these are big matchups, so you shouldn't take anybody lightly. But you got 4 games that are happening tomorrow. Tomorrow you got at 7 p.m. the Philadelphia Flyers against the New York Rangers. That's game one. All these are game ones right now. Chicago will be taking on St. Louis at 8 p.m. At 9:30, we got Minnesota against Colorado. And then at 10:30, we got L.A. against San Jose. Sounds like interesting matches, don't they? They do. They do. They definitely do it. They all should be good games. You know, they all should definitely be good games. And, you know, more power to whoever comes out and wins these matchups. So, right now, I want to take an opportunity to move over to the NFL. We hadn't already known yet, Chris Johnson was released by the Titans less than a week ago. He's now found a new home. He's with the New York Jets. They agreed to a deal as of today. And it's a good move for the Jets. Now you got Chris Johnson next to Chris Ivory. And Chris Ivory in the past proved to be at times a dangerous back for the New Orleans Saints. So you got a two running back tandem to help out Geno Smith. You got Eric Decker to throw the ball to. That Jets offense, I'm expecting it to be a lot better. I really am, with just, you know, with the additions that they got. And Chris Johnson, I guess he wants to prove to people he hasn't fallen off, although he's been off the map a little bit the last 2 or 3 years. But this is his chance to prove himself, and now he's got an opportunity to make a name for himself with the New York Jets. So this is a move that the Jets felt like they had to make. This is a move that they needed to make. And you have to wonder, how is Chris Johnson going to work well with the maturation of Geno Smith and with the production level of Chris Ivory? Who's going to get more of the carries? Who's going to be more of the feature back in the offense? You know, who's going to be making more plays? Who's going to be taking more? Who's going to be involved in more snaps? Now, Chris Johnson complained about his role with the Titans in the past, but we will see what happens. I think he's expected to be a starter, and I'm predicting that Chris Ivory is going to be the backup. That's the way I look at it. I think with Johnson's speed and his quickness and being a dangerous runner and pass receiver, I think he should get the nod over Chris Ivory as a starting tailback. So if these guys can stay healthy together, the Jets, they should be ready to challenge New England for division supremacy. And considering the moves that New England made, and even some of the moves that Miami made, and even Buffalo, there's going to be some tough, stiff competition in the AFC East. So I'm looking forward to it. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we are going to discuss Alden Smith's case and the troubles that that knucklehead is getting into. And we're going to make our NBA prediction. That's coming up on the one and only Rocket Sports Breakdown. Here on blogtalkradio.com, we got a whole lot going down. We're on air till 9 p.m. tonight, so stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is a little bit after 7:30. And we got a little bit more NFL news to pass along to you. Wide receiver Brandon Lloyd is returning to the San Francisco 49ers. He sat out all of 2013. The last time he played was with the Patriots back in 2012. He also spent some time with the 49ers. He was drafted by them in the fourth round of the 2003 draft. He played there from 03 to 05, where he caught 105 passes for over 1,500 yards and 13 touchdowns. That including leading the team with 48 catches, 733 yards receiving, and 5 touchdowns in 2005. So he's now rendezvousing with this old team once again, and the 49ers could really use another receiver, but we'll see if he's going to be able to contribute, because anytime you sit out for a whole year, yeah, there's going to be some bumps and bruises. There's going to be some setbacks. So, happy to see him back in the league, though. Somebody didn't give up on him. And for what it's worth, Brandon Lloyd has had some good hands throughout his career at times. He can make some tremendous catches. So I just remember watching some highlights of him. He made more highlights than anything else. That's the best way I could put it for you. We also got backup quarterback Matt Flynn returning to Green Bay Packers. They reached the two sides reached the deal. The terms and the details of the deal were not announced, but he is staying put in Green Bay. A lot of people thought he would really branch off once again, but he came back last year and started a few games when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And so now Green Bay has two backup quarterbacks behind Aaron Rodgers, Matt Flint and Scott Tolzien, who also started some games for the Packers last year. Speaking of quarterbacks, Josh Freeman has found a new team. How surprising is that? He signed a one-year deal with the New York Giants today, and details of that deal have not really been announced just yet, unfortunately. Now, he was cut by Tampa Bay in October of last year after a messy split between the two parties. Less than a week later, he signed on with the Vikings, but only played one game and started just one game. And that was against the Giants, by the way, where he completed 20 of 53 passes for just 190 yards and one interception. And that was in the Monday night game. And the Giants won that game 23-7. So he's going to be backing up Eli Manning, or at least competing for a backup spot. We are unsure about that. So good luck to the Giants organization with that move, huh? Yeah, how about that? So we got some MLB games that are currently in progress. And before I get to that, I got to talk about the whole Alden Smith thing. This is really, really starting to bug me, man. It really is. It really is. I'm just, oh my God. I can't even begin to tell you how ticked off I am about the whole situation. Like, really, I am really, really sick of it. And it just seems like you always got guys that just can't seem to stay out of trouble because of whatever lifestyle that they're living or whatever it is that they're doing. They are not necessarily doing what they should be doing, and it's really, 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 really getting on my nerves. Okay, let's wind the clock back a little bit, shall we? Well, first of all, his recent charges, it's, oh my goodness, I don't know what to make of the situation. But basically, if you want to go back in time a little bit, this guy has had some legal issues for the last 2 years. First of all, this guy, okay, let's take a deep breath here. Okay, in January of 2012, he was arrested for a DUI in Miami Beach, Florida. In June of that year, he was believed to have suffered stab wounds when attempting to break up a fight at a party at his residence in San Jose, California. in September of last year, and this is where things really started to get serious. Okay, he was involved in a single vehicle accident in San Jose. He was subsequently arrested on suspicion of DUI and possession of marijuana. After they lost at home to Indianapolis last season, he voluntarily entered a rehab facility to be put into the non-football injury list with an indefinite leave of absence. Less than a month later, or actually maybe 2 weeks later, or three, whatever you want to call it, he was charged with three felony counts of illegal possession of an assault weapon relating to the 2012 stabbing incident at a party, at his party that he was hosting. And now, he was detained and arrested following an incident in Lax Airport in which he was alleged to mention a bomb to TSA officers. How stupid can you get? Seriously. What the hell is going on? I mean, oh my goodness, I, wow, man, I really don't know what to make of the situation. I really don't know. But this is the stuff that I be talking about that really ticks me off, okay? It really, really ticks me off, okay? And just to read up more about the situation, this guy is a talented football player. Very talented player. 42 sacks in 43 career games. And now he might not even play at all this upcoming season. You're talking about these criminal charges. You talk about a lot of these bad issues that he's been getting into. Me personally, I think he deserves to be punished. Just to teach him a lesson. And just so he can get his head on straight. If you're going to make an example out of Kwame Kilpatrick and the rest of those guys, you better make an example out of Aldon Smith. Now, normally players will get suspended for the first four games of the season, maybe even five or six, because this is a serious situation. They may go a step further and actually suspend him for the entire 2014 season. And that's a shame. As a shame, a young, talented player, gifted with the potential to be a great football player. And the 49ers have some very good linebackers. You already got Patrick Willis. You got Amari Brooks. And now Aldon Smith is becoming a head case. He's 24 years old, but yet he's acting much, much less mature. And this guy's already set some milestones. First of all, he set a 49ers single-season sack record of 19.5 sacks. He was the fastest player in NFL history to record 30 sacks in 27 games. First 27 career games. He also had NFL record 33.5 sacks in the first two seasons of his career. And in a Monday night game, he set a single-game sack record 5.5 on a Monday night game. And I'm talking about Derek Thomas and what he did, but we're talking on a Monday night game. How talented is that? That's talent. That's damn talent. You just don't know what to make of the situation, man. You just don't know. You just don't know. And it's sad. If he gets to any kind of trouble, that's it. It's a wrap. It's a serious wrap. So, you got that situation, and hopefully, things will work out. It's bad enough the 49ers already got some problems. First of all, you got Colin Kaepernick with the situation going on in South Beach or Florida somewhere. You already got that problem. You got the issue with Jim Harbaugh, you know, whether or not he's going to coach a team in the future or whatever. 49ers beginning to be more of a soap opera than the Cowboys, and that's saying a lot. The Cowboys have been a big soap opera in football for the past two and a half decades, going back to the Aikman days with Emmitt and Irvin and Deion Sanders and when Barry Switzer was a head coach, and you had characters like Nate Newton, and, you know, and Charles Haley, and I mean, it's just a bad situation. It's just a bad situation. So, well, I look at it like this, okay? At some point, you have to take responsibility for your actions. Period. You just have to. You got to remember what you're doing, and you got to remember that you are supposed to be on top of your head at all times, thinking that you can escape the law and all these other problems and stuff. That's not always the case, and it really isn't. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to be seriously praying for Aldon Smith and the entire 49ers organization, because it seems like they can use it. So moving on to the MLB, we got a few games that are currently in progress. We got the Chicago Cubs against the New York Yankees. That game is scoreless. The third inning is just getting ready to start. We got the Braves and Phillies. That game is scoreless right now, at the top of the third inning right now. Washington and Miami are both scoreless in the bottom of the third inning. And the Indians are up 3-1 over the Tigers in the bottom of the second. A few games that have already gone final. We got the Mets, who defeated the Arizona Diamondbacks by a score of 5-2. The Mets are now one game over 500. The Diamondbacks, they are 10 games below 500. They got off to a fast start. They were actually up 5-0, and the D-backs recorded 2 runs, but it was not enough for them to come back and pull off the victory. And because of that, they are now 4-14 of the season. How unfortunate for them. Very unfortunate for them. Randy McCarthy gets the loss for Arizona. He's now 0-3. Dylan Gee gets the win for the Mets. He's 1-0. He gets his first win of the season. And in this game, Anthony Rucker jacked up a home run. He went 1-for-4 at the plate. David Wright went 2-for-5. Andrew Brown went 2-for-5. And Daniel Murphy also went 2-for-5. The Mets recorded 10 hits, 4 walks. And meanwhile, the D-backs committed 8 hits, no walks. A lot of their guys struggled today. They had 2 guys who went 0-for-4 at the plate. Miguel Montero and Mark Trumbo both went 0-for-4 at the plate. And it wasn't enough. The comeback attempt was short. The Chicago Cubs' first game between the Yankees, due to a situation where the game was, the original first game was postponed, the Yankees won the earlier matchup by a score of 3-0. They're 8-6. The Cubs are 4-9. Carlos Beltran hit a solo home run in the bottom of the first inning, which got things going for the Yankees a little bit. They added one more run in the fourth inning when Dean Anna hit a sacrifice fly to center, which allowed Brian McCann to score. And then in the bottom of the fifth, when Jacob E. Ellsbury rounded out to the pitcher, which allowed Brett Gardner to score. The Yankees went on to win the game 3-0. Masahiro Tanaka got his second win of the season. He's 2-0. Jason Hamill got his first loss of the season. He's now 2-1. And Sean Kelly got his fourth save of the season. We also have the Milwaukee Brewers. They beat the St. Louis Cardinals at home 5-1. And the Cincinnati Reds beat Pittsburgh at home 4-0. Baltimore at home, they defeated Tampa Bay 3-0. And coming up, we got the Seattle Mariners against the Texas Rangers. That game's getting ready to tip off in about 10 minutes. 15 minutes from now, we got 2 games, Kansas City against Houston and Boston against the Chicago White Sox. And coming up later tonight at 10:05, we have Oakland against the LA Angels. We got Colorado against San Diego at 10:10. And at 10:15, the Dodgers and the Giants. Wow, Tanaka's 2-0. So far, he's living up to the hype. And he struck out 10 in this game and pitched 8 innings. He played good baseball today. I'm just looking at his numbers. He played pretty good. I got to give him some props. I got to give the guy some props. He did his thing today. He only allowed 2 hits, no runs, only 1 walk, had an ERA of 2.05. That's pretty impressive. pretty impressive. But then again, he went up against a Cubs team that's not so good right now. But, hey, a win is a win, right? And he got his second. He's 2-0. And so far, so good. He's living up to expectations. Now, I got to give credit where credit is due. I got to. Everyone knows I am not a Yankees fan, but, you know, I will give props where props is due. And so far, so good. Not just living up to the hype. You always wonder about these players when they come out, you know, from overseas, they come from a big school, or they just have a lot of expectations on their back. And you have to wonder what they're going to do on a professional level. And when they do get off to a nice start, you know, you got to give them some credit. Period. Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to get into the NBA, a sport I'm much more familiar with. We're going to make our basketball predictions. We got some games in progress. We got some games that are getting ready to start shortly. Tonight is the final night of the NBA season in 2014. Playoffs are right around the corner. So we're going to get into it. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We are approaching the 8 o'clock hour. We got a little over an hour left on air. And with that being said, we're going to get into some basketball coverage. And we will be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. It is 8 p.m. and want to get back into the NHL real quickly. At Montreal-Tampa Bay game is now tied at 1. They are currently in the second period. The first period just ended. The scoring summary went down. Tampa Bay actually scored first, I believe. The way that it went down was Nikita, and I'm forgive me for not pronouncing his last name right, Kucherov provided the goal. J.T. Brown and Cedric Paquette provided the assist. And for Montreal, Thomas Plekanec provided the goal for Montreal. And Alexi Emelin and Brandon Gallagher each provided the assist. So that game is currently tied at 1, and they're getting ready to go into the second period. Currently, we got another game that just got started, and I'm just looking at the preview. I'm looking at this matchup. Now, game one between these two teams are tonight. Game two will be Friday in Tampa. Game three will be this upcoming Sunday, and game four will be next Tuesday. And if there is a game five, it'll be next Thursday, and then game six will be the following Sunday, and game seven will be the following Tuesday after that. Currently, right now, the Columbus-Pittsburgh game just started in Columbus. Surprisingly, it's up 1-0. That game is currently in the first period. Jack Johnson got the goal for Columbus. Brandon Dubinsky provided the assist. Wow, how about that? Didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming at all. Game two between these two teams will be this Saturday. Game three will be next Monday in Columbus, along with game four next Wednesday in Columbus. And game five will be next Saturday, game six next Monday, the following Monday, and game seven the following Wednesday. Assuming there are games five, six, and seven, you never know. You never know at all. So let's get into some NBA. And currently we got some games in progress. We got some games that are also getting ready to start. Right now we have Charlotte is up over Chicago 43-39. That game is at the half. Charlotte right now, to me, this game means more to Chicago, and it should be more because they have an opportunity to get the number three seed. Currently, they're tied with Toronto for third place, even though Toronto has won their division. But Chicago could still finish with a better record and end up having home court, let's say, if those two teams met each other in the playoffs. It's happened before. Happened 10 years ago when the Pistons, despite finishing in second place in their division, they had home court over New Jersey when those two teams met in the second round, even though New Jersey won their division that year. So it's capable of happening, and we'll see what happens now. Indiana is currently up 40-37 over Orlando. That game is in the second quarter. They're approaching halftime in that one. Indiana has already wrapped up home court, even though they are pretty much limping into the playoffs. But because of Miami losing at Washington on Monday, and actually the Heat elected to sit their starters in that game, so they basically let the Pacers be number one. So because of that, Indiana took tremendous advantage of that. They're going to be the number one seed going into the playoffs. They're most likely going to face, well, they're definitely going to face the Atlanta Hawks in the first round, so we know that matchup is already happening. Coming up, and we got a lot of games to close out tonight, the final regular season. So a lot of these teams you're going to see for the final time this season. I wouldn't say in 2004 because the season will be starting back again later this year. So you can't really say that. Coming up, we got San Antonio hosting the Lakers, although San Antonio is number one, so that game is not really an important game. We got the Mavericks at the Grizzlies. That game's getting ready to tip off. You can check it out on ESPN. That game's getting ready to start. If I'm not mistaken, that should be the first of a doubleheader. So you got Memphis and Dallas, and then later tonight at 10:30, you got the Clippers and the Trailblazers. So we got a West Coast, Western Conference doubleheader. Lucky for them. Lucky for them. And I'm looking, let's see what else we got. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we got the Pistons against the Thunder. Kevin Durant is expected to play He doesn't really have to, but he is going to play the court tonight. Not so sure about Russell Westbrook if he's going to play. If I'm OKC, I shouldn't, because they don't need him to go up against Detroit. They got that game. They should win that game. They could win that game without Durant, to be honest with you. We got Washington against Boston. That game's getting ready to tip off at 8 o'clock as well. And that's a big game for that's a big game for Washington, because they got, okay, I'm just going to announce the rest of these 8 o'clock games. You got Houston at New Orleans. You got Brooklyn at Cleveland. Philadelphia at Miami, even though Miami's pretty much resting their starters, so they're definitely going to be number two. Atlanta and Milwaukee. Utah at Minnesota, even though those two games there, no one should really care. Atlanta's already going to be an automatic number eight seed. And the Jazz and Minnesota, no one really cares about those two games. Then we got Toronto at New York. Toronto actually lost at home to New York last week. They can exhaust some revenge against the Knicks team without Carmelo Anthony. For the first time in his career, Carmelo will not be participating in the playoffs. This is actually his 10th year in the league, too. So he's been in the playoffs every year up until now. We got Dallas against Memphis, like I just announced. Coming up at 10:30, we also got the Clippers in Portland. We got Golden State at Denver. And even though they're eliminated, we got Phoenix against Sacramento. I still think that Jeff Hornacek should be coached here for what he did with this Phoenix team, with just a lot of the upcoming stars like Gordon Dragic. They got Gerald Green. They still got Channing Frye. So they got some young players on that team, some very good young players. They're going to be a team that's going to be competing for a long time. They'll be in the playoffs next year, I guarantee you. So basically, a lot of these important games, first of all, that Clippers game against Portland is a very important game, because you want to have some momentum going into the postseason. It's just something that you want to have. You want to make sure that you're a team that's going into a high. And to be honest with you, this could be a playoff preview. Not in the first round, obviously, but a possible second round preview. You never know. You never know. And so the reason why I say that is, if you're the Clippers, do you want to win this game? Now, here's what makes this interesting. Let's say OKC loses tonight to Detroit, and the Clippers beat Portland. The Clippers will move up into the number two spot, and OKC will drop to number three. Right now, both teams have 36 conference victories each. OKC has 16 conference losses, and the Clippers have 15. The Clippers are playing a conference opponent. OKC, they're playing an outside conference opponent. So OKC needs to beat Detroit, and the Clippers, they need to beat Portland, and they need OKC to lose so they could be the number two, which would give the Clippers a better distinct advantage if you think about it, because, you know, we don't know who's going to win the Dallas and Memphis game. Right now, Dallas, they own the tiebreaker for the seventh spot because they have a better conference record. If Dallas beats Memphis tonight, they will hold on to the seventh spot. Now, Golden State, and this is what makes the Western Conference so interesting. Golden State is holding down the sixth spot, right? Okay. Now, the matchups between Golden State and Dallas this year, and, you know, we're just going to scroll down the list a little bit, because Golden State, they've kind of been struggling a little bit. They've lost two of their last four games. And some people say, well, that's not such a big deal. Well, you don't want to be limping into the playoffs. You want to make sure that you have something, some momentum going for you. Okay. Now, technically, Golden State is in sixth spot right now because they're one game better than Dallas in terms of conference standings. That's what makes this whole matchup such a big matchup for both teams. Okay. So, These two teams have already played each other a few times already. And they played each other four times. Basically, Golden State has won three of those four matchups. In fact, they won the last three matchups. Most recently, they won on April Fool's in overtime, 122-120, in a game where Stephen Curry hit that enormous game-winning shot as time expired, allowing Golden State to win the game and pull off the big win. Now, I'm looking at the standings right now. Golden State is one game better than Dallas. So technically, Golden State, they're number six. They pretty much got that sixth spot pretty much wrapped up. Lucky for them, they don't have to worry about going up against San Antonio. But they could end up facing OKC or the Clippers. Now, Dallas versus Memphis is very interesting because, again, Dallas owns the tiebreaker right now because they have a better conference record. Although that might not mean much, but the bottom line is that they still need to win this game. And if you're the Mavericks, you really still need to win this game. Okay, first of all, Dallas has beaten Memphis three times already. You still want to win this game, though. And the game's getting ready to tip off as we speak. Both teams, their starters are going to play. Dallas have already won the first three matchups. If they win tonight, and pretty much looks like they should, even if they don't win, they still got the seventh seed wrapped up. And Memphis looks like they're definitely going to be number eight. So pretty much Golden State 6, Dallas 7, Memphis 8. Okay. Portland and Houston, these two teams are going to be facing each other in the playoffs anyway. The question down the stretch was, who's going to be number 4 and who's going to be number 5? Which team is going to have the home court? You know, who's going to finish better than the other team? And right now, Houston has the advantage. In fact, I think they've gotten more of the regular season wins against Portland. So because of that, right now, and you would hate to see Houston end up, you know, not being able to have at least home court in at least one matchup, because again, you know, they've already swept San Antonio. So they came off a big win. And you hate for that to happen and then not being able to, you know, take care of business on your end and at least get home court. Now, that's not to say that Portland is a pushover, because they're not. But I will say that, you know, it's not going to be an easy contest either way you look at it. Portland is tough at home. Houston's tough at home. And you want to see who's going to be able to win these matches. Now, so far, Houston has won 3 of the 4 matchups. They've won 3 of the 4. And most recently, they won last month at home 118-113. And what was another thriller overtime finish. So basically, Houston has the 4th seed pretty much wrapped up, and Portland's going to be number 5. Now, here's where it gets more interesting. You got OKC and the Clippers, right? OKC had just beaten the Clippers on the road a week ago in overtime, which was a thriller finish. I mean, it was a thriller finish. It was one of the better games I had seen and caught the highlights of throughout the year. And to see Kevin Durant go off the way that he did, right now averaging 31.9 points per game and just playing some phenomenal basketball. Just playing some absolute phenomenal basketball. The game between these two teams took place last Wednesday, and OKC had won that game 107-101 at the Staples Center. So just to kind of give you a quick hook, for the most part, you would think that OKC has dominated this matchup. That really hasn't been the case. Both teams have won two games apiece. Both teams have also won on each other's courts. Back on Wednesday, November the 13th, the Clippers won at home 111-103. On Thursday, November the 21st, about a week later, OKC returned the favor at home in 105-91. And on Sunday, February the 23rd, the Clippers won on the road 125-117. And then last Wednesday, OKC returned the favor, winning on the road in the matchups between the two, 107-101. That being said, right now, both teams have won 36. I repeat, 36 conference games. OKC has 16 conference losses. Clippers have 15. Okay? Now, if the Clippers win tonight and OKC loses, then the Clippers will pretty much hurdle OKC and move into the number two spot. I wonder what would happen if both teams finished with the same record. Because you have to determine that then by point differential and all those other factors that come into who's going to win those matchups. And that's going to be very, very intriguing. And I'm gearing up for what should be a good finish in those games. Either way you look at it. Either way you look at it. So basically, that's what we got right now. And I can't wait. I cannot wait. I am excited for this. I am definitely excited for this. Well, currently, we have some games that just tipped off. OKC and Detroit, that game just tipped off. Philadelphia and Miami just tipped off. Lakers and San Antonio, that game just tipped off. Memphis and Dallas, that game just tipped off. That game's currently on ESPN. Toronto and New York, Washington and Boston, Atlanta and Milwaukee, Houston and New Orleans, Utah and Minnesota, Brooklyn and Cleveland. All those games have just tipped off. Most of those games are very, very, very important games. So I'll just say, you know, good luck to the teams that finish and that win. You know, just a quick update. OKC is currently up on Detroit 11-6. Russell Westbrook is playing. Pretty much OKC is playing their starters because they need to win this game. And I had thought a week ago, I would have told you that OKC had the number two spot wrapped up. And that's not really the case right now, unfortunately. So they have to win this game. You would have thought that this would have been a perfect night for them to rest their starters and get some rest going into the postseason because those guys are going to need it. But that's not really the case right now. Both teams are playing and both teams are out there really giving it their all. And the Clippers will be tipping up tonight, so you can rest assured the Clippers are probably watching this game between these two teams right now, as so is Rocket. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to preview the we're going to line up the Western, the Eastern Conference, and then we are going to make our predictions as far as who's going to win. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're almost approaching 8:30. Still sticking with the NBA real quickly, and some of these games have just been updated. Just going to run down some scores real quickly. Chicago is now still down in Charlotte, 52-49. That game is in the third quarter. Indiana is up 46-40 over Orlando. That game is just started. The third quarter just started. The second half is now underway. The Lakers are up in San Antonio 18-14, even though San Antonio is pretty much resting his starters for the most part. Doesn't matter if they win that game or not. We got OKC up on Detroit 17-11. That game is in the first quarter. We got between Dallas and Memphis, we got Memphis up 16-11. That game is currently on ESPN. You are more than welcome to switch over to that game, all while still listening to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We got Washington up 21-12 in Boston. They need to win that game, and they need Brooklyn to lose in Cleveland tonight so Washington can move into the fifth spot and Brooklyn can drop to number six. That game is in the first quarter between Washington and Boston. Brooklyn is currently losing in Cleveland 15-13. That game is in the first quarter. Houston is down in New Orleans 11-10. That game is in the first quarter. Philadelphia is up 12-10 in Miami in the first quarter. Not a big deal if you're Miami. Atlanta is down in Milwaukee 21-19. Atlanta's going to be the number 8 seed, so it doesn't matter if they win or lose. Utah is up 17-13 in Minnesota. No one really, that's basically unimportant at this rate. Toronto is losing to New York right now, 9-8. That game just got started. And then coming up at 10:30, we got a big game between Golden State and Denver. Well, it's not necessarily a big game. Golden State's pretty much going to be the number 6 seed, but, you know, they would like to know who they're going to play, you know. That's also big. They could end up playing the Clippers. Speaking of the Clippers, they will be participating in the second of a doubleheader on ESPN. They'll be in Portland tonight. That game's also at 10:30. And then also we got Phoenix and Sacramento, which is another unimportant game. Preview on the Eastern Conference. We already know Indiana's number 1. We already know Miami's number 2. Toronto and Chicago are both tied for third right now. Both teams have the same exact record at 48-33. Now, Toronto, because they have won a division, if they win, they'll pretty much be the number 3 seed. But here's where it gets a little tricky. Let's say Chicago and Toronto somehow meet each other in the playoffs. If Chicago had a better record, they would finish with the home court between those two teams. Because Chicago has more conference wins. They're actually 3 games better in the conference standings than Toronto. So that makes that all more interesting. Much more interesting than what it is right now. And it's a good thing that tonight is the last night of the season. Even though some of these games are going to be ending by, you know, most of these games won't be over until after this show's over. But you're going to find more about who's going to be playing who when this night is finished, pretty much. So that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. That's what I'm looking forward to watching. I can't wait to see the end and the results of these games. It's going to be off the chart. It's going to be off the chart. It's definitely going to be off the chart. So I'm just looking at Toronto's schedule right now. And you got to wonder, is this going to be a team that's going to shock somebody in the playoffs? Are they going to be a team that actually does it? Are they going to be a team that does something amazing? What do you think? Call in. We're taking calls all night, 347-327-9586. Feel free to call in and make your predictions. Because I got a funny feeling I pretty much know who's going to be playing who in the playoffs. That's the way I look at it. And so I'm just excited about that. That's something to look forward to. Okay? It's a big deal. It's a serious big deal. Now, the matchups between Chicago and Toronto this year have been quite interesting matchups, to say the least, you know. First of all, these two teams have played each other 4 times this season. Both teams have split. Now, this is what's interesting. Both of these two teams have won on each other's courts. Toronto won in Chicago twice, and both of those games took place in December. The first was on December the 14th, and then the second game was on New Year's Eve. That first matchup was by 22 points, by the way. And Chicago and Toronto, and Chicago won twice in Toronto. The first, back in November, they won that game big, and then they won by 2 points back on Wednesday, February 19th, the last matchup between these two teams. So this is what makes this more interesting. And like I said, I remember when the Pistons faced off against the Nets in the 04 second round of the playoffs, New Jersey had won their division, so they were the number two seed. But because Detroit had the better record, they had the home court. So I look at it like if Chicago finishes with a better record than Toronto, I think Chicago will still end up being the fourth seed. They're still going to have home court over whoever they play, whether it's Brooklyn or Washington. Toronto, same thing, whether they play Brooklyn or Washington, they're going to have home court. Well, if these two teams somehow play each other, and you never know. You never know what these playoffs are going to tell you. It's going to be interesting. To me, I look at all the teams in the East, and I have to say Toronto overall, they're the most athletic team. They're the team that you might end up being a little fearful of because those guys can get up and down the court in a major way, okay? Now, we know Atlanta's the number eight seed. They're automatically playing Indiana. Charlotte, here's where it gets interesting between, you know, with Charlotte. Now, if Washington wins their game tonight, basically, they're going to be, let's say Washington wins and Brooklyn loses. Washington will move into the fifth spot and Brooklyn will drop to number six. Charlotte could easily, well, Charlotte, they're going to, they can't finish no better than sixth place. But if Washington wins tonight, it won't even matter. They'll still be stuck at number seven, meaning they'll have to play Miami in the first round. But let's say, basically, if Charlotte and Washington finish with the same record, Washington will still be number six because they have more conference wins. They've got 32 conference wins. They actually have more conference wins than Charlotte and Brooklyn. Charlotte has more conference wins than Brooklyn, too. So Charlotte will be number seven, either way you look at it. Washington can move into the fifth spot and play Chicago, possibly, or Toronto, and Brooklyn can drop down to number five, or number six, I'm sorry. So how about that? How about that? And I'm already looking forward to it, man. I am already looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to take another quick break. Yeah, we're taking some breaks tonight. When we come back, we're going to make our actual predictions. I pretty much know who's going to be what, basically. That's the way I look at it. So we're going to make our first-round predictions coming up on the one and only Rocket Sports Breakdown here on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They call the Ghostbusters and the End Control. Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the crime was under the building. So they packed up, regrouped, got a grip, came equipped, grabbed their proton packs on the back, and they split. Spun out of our beagle, the match of evil. Try to battle my boys, that's not legal. Yeah, I think this
grab the proton packs on the back, then they split. Spun out a bomb eagle, the massive eel, trying to battle my boys? That's not legal.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is 8:35, and we got more of the we got the NBA games currently in progress. Now, according to NBA.com, basically a lot of the positions have been pretty much we know who's what. Like in the East, you got Indiana number one, Miami number two, and Atlanta at number eight. In the Western Conference, you got San Antonio number one, Houston's definitely number four, Portland's definitely number five, Golden State's definitely number six. Dallas or Memphis, depending on whoever wins that game tonight, could either be 7th or 8th. So it could switch. Right now, Dallas is currently holding down the 7th spot. OKC and the Clippers could switch either number 2 or number 3. Currently, OKC is holding down in the number 2 spot. But anything is subject to change. Now, the game between OKC and Detroit, the first quarter just ended, and the Pistons are surprisingly leading 30-28. But, like most of their games this year, the Pistons have led after the first or second or even third quarters, and they ended up losing the game. So if you're OKC, no need to panic. You can still win this game, and I think they will. And I think they'll hold down a number two spot, and I think the Clippers will be number three. So, basically in the Eastern Conference, the way that it is with some of these other teams, like the basic five spots, right now, Toronto is currently holding down the number three seed. They will be number three officially if they win tonight and Chicago loses at Charlotte. Now, if Chicago wins and Toronto loses, then Toronto drops number four and Chicago moves to number three. If both Toronto and Chicago lose their games, then Toronto stays at number three and Chicago stays at number four. And you know, that's pretty much the same rules apply to Chicago. Brooklyn will be seeded number five because currently they're holding down the fifth spot. All they have to do is win tonight and they're number five. They need to win or they need Washington to lose. If they lose and Washington wins, then both teams switch. Washington will be number five. Brooklyn will be number six. So I feel like looking at some of the scores of these games, I feel like Brooklyn should beat Cleveland tonight, and I feel like Washington, they're going to beat Boston anyway. They should win those games. Right now, Washington is currently up 38-24 in Boston. The first quarter just ended. Feels like they're already running away with that game. Brooklyn, they are losing badly in Cleveland right now, 33-21 in the first quarter. That game just ended. So we might see Brooklyn drop a little bit. We just might. It's possible. It is highly possible. But that game is not over yet, and neither is the Washington-Boston game, so you never know what's going to happen. Washington can even fall down to the seventh spot if they lose and Charlotte wins, which I don't understand because Washington has more conference wins than Charlotte. So how is that even possible? You know, they're saying Charlotte can be seeded number six if they win and Washington loses. Doesn't look like Washington's going to lose. Looks like they're already running away with that game. And Chicago, Charlotte has a much tougher game. I think they're going to end up being stuck at seven. Even though currently Well, right now they're losing to Chicago. The third quarter is about to end. Indiana is running away with it in Orlando. They pretty much got that game under wraps. Chicago is currently up 60-59. The third quarter is just about to come to an end in that game. So those are going to be some very, very tough matchups. Some very, very tough matchups. And so we also got in the West, OKC. All they had to do was beat Detroit tonight, and they're number two, regardless of what happens with Clippers, with the Clippers in Portland. And again, the Clippers, if they win tonight, and if OKC loses, then the Clippers will be number two, and OKC will be number three in the West. Dallas, all they have to do is beat Memphis. Whoever wins that game will most likely be the seventh seed, whoever wins. The loser of that game will be the eighth seed. And if you're Dallas or Memphis, you don't really want to play San Antonio in the first round. Because I can't see Memphis or Dallas beating the Spurs in the playoffs. Not this Mavericks team. The Mavericks team that won the championship three seasons ago, that's a team that could have beat San Antonio. But they lost a few pieces over the years, and they're not that same team. Memphis, you saw what they looked like last year against San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. They looked like a donut, and that's exactly what happened. It was a donut in that series. So here's what I think it's going to look like. I think Indiana, they got number one. Miami's number two. I think Toronto should beat New York without Carmelo, and I think they're going to be number three. I think Chicago's going to stay put at number four. I think Brooklyn's going to come back and beat Cleveland. I think they're going to be number five. I still think Washington's going to hold down the sixth spot. I think Charlotte's going to stay put at seventh, and Atlanta, they're automatic eight. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think in the West, San Antonio, they're number one. I think OKC's going to beat Detroit. They're going to be number two. Clippers, regardless of what happens, they're going to be number three. All OKC has to do is win this game, and they will. I think they will. Houston's number four. Portland's automatically number five. Golden State's automatically number six. I think Dallas should beat Memphis. Even though right now it's the end of the first quarter in that game, and Memphis is up by 5 points. But I think Dallas should be able to prevail in that game, and I think that they're going to be the number seventh seed. And I think Memphis will stay put at number eight. Which brings me to the first round matchup. Now, we already know that Indiana versus Atlanta is going to happen. Both teams tied during the regular season. Atlanta had that big win against Indiana on the road 2 weeks ago. It was their, to me, that was their best win of the season. They came at it. They were up 33-11 at the end of the first quarter in that game, and they were pretty much in control the rest of the way. Indiana had no chance down the stretch. And so, but I think in the playoffs, it's always different. I expect Indiana to win at least five games. I'll give Atlanta one because they do got some talent, you know, with the likes of Paul Millsap and some of the other guys that they got. But if they had Al Horford, they could possibly push it to seven. That's the way I look at it. It's possible. It's highly possible. Miami versus Charlotte, to me, is a lock to happen. I think Charlotte's going to stay put at seven. Miami has swept Charlotte during the regular season. I expect Miami to sweep Charlotte in this matchup, in the playoff matchup. I think Washington's going to be number six, and Toronto's going to be number three. Toronto won the regular season series 3-1, and I think that's pretty much going to be the same prediction in the playoffs. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Toronto this time, instead of three wins, they're going to get four. And so I think they're going to win 4-1. Against Washington. But that matchup could go either way because both teams are upcoming, young, explosive, athletic teams. That's going to be a fun matchup. Maybe that could go all the way to seven games. That might be the one matchup in the Eastern Conference first round that'll go seven games. Chicago versus Brooklyn. Now, this is going to be an intriguing matchup. Chicago won 2-1. They were 1-1 in Brooklyn. I think, based off of what happened between those two teams last year, Brooklyn they're itching to get to drop a little bit of revenge. This time, having Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett will help. I think this is going to be the toughest matchup and probably the most physical matchup in the first round as far as the Eastern Conference is concerned. It's going to be a rugged matchup. Both teams are really going to be going at it, and that's what's going to make this matchup all intriguing. I think I will give the nod to Brooklyn because they got Garnett, they got Pierce. Garnett will be ready to go. Pierce is ready to go. I think that's going to be the difference. I think Chicago not having Derrick Rose, not having Luol Deng, is going to hurt them a little bit. But their defense is going to make this series very, very competitive. I'm looking forward to it personally. If I'm going to watch the NBA playoffs, that's the first matchup I'm going to be watching as far as the first round is concerned. So let's just hope that these matchups hold up and that these matchups end up happening. But Toronto versus Brooklyn won't be a bad matchup either. Washington versus Chicago will be a very interesting matchup as well. Washington's offense and their athleticism against Chicago's rugged defense, that'll be interesting to see. It really would. The Western Conference, possibly you got San Antonio against Memphis. And like last year in the Western Conference Finals, San Antonio swept Memphis during the regular season this year. That could happen again. In fact, I'll give Memphis one game. I'll give them at least one game. But I expect San Antonio to win in 4 or 5. OKC versus Dallas. These two teams had some good playoff matchups in recent years. But I'm gonna give OKC the edge, even though Dallas won 2 of the 3 regular season matchups. But I'm gonna give OKC the nod. I say OKC will win this matchup, and I say they'll win the matchup in 6. Because I still think OKC not having James Harden anymore is hurting them a little bit. Because they don't really have that third dominant option. But they still got some pieces. They got the pieces to make a run at another championship. As far as getting back to the finals and trying to win it for the first time since they moved to OKC. I think they got a shot. I think they got a very good shot to do it. Houston versus Portland is automatic. We already know Houston won the regular season matchup 3-1. And I will give Houston, I'll give Houston 6 games. I'll give them 6 games in this matchup. I think the home teams will win the first four matchups. I say Houston will close it eventually in 6 games. And here's the matchup that would be a very intriguing one, the most intriguing, Clippers versus Golden State. These two teams do not like each other. We already know that. There's no love lost between these two teams, really. None. Both teams tied their regular season matches by winning 2 games apiece. And I think this is a matchup that could go 7 games. I think this is a matchup that could go 7 games. And it's a strong, strong possibility that it can happen. A strong possibility. Don't be surprised if that matchup goes 7 games, if this matchup officially happens in the Western Conference playoff picture. I won't be surprised by it one bit. Okay? Now, just to update some of these games real quickly. Indiana's running away with it in Orlando. The third quarter just ended. They're up 75-62. We're in the fourth quarter between Chicago and Charlotte. Chicago's up 67-65. About 9 minutes left to play the fourth quarter of that game. Pretty much, I'm going to just say the most important games because there's a few of these games that are not so important. We got Detroit currently leading OKC 35-31, surprisingly. But like I said, the Pistons, they've been known to blow games in the second and third quarters of games, and especially in the fourth, whether it's at home mostly or even on the road. That game right now is in the second quarter, about 8 minutes to go in the second quarter of that game. Washington is currently up in Boston, 45-37 Boston. They were down as many as 14 so far, but it's the second quarter. They're only down by 8. They're trying to mount a little comeback and make the game more interesting. Houston is up 35-32 in New Orleans. Regardless of what happens in that game, Houston is definitely going to be the number 4 seed. Brooklyn, they're only down by 2 to Cleveland. I told you not to panic if you're Brooklyn. They can win this game, and I think they will. So they're down 40-38. That game's in the second quarter as well. They're halfway through the second quarter. Toronto is up big in New York, 39-23. Toronto better win that game. First of all, Carmelo's not in the lineup. The Knicks have nothing to play for. I don't care if that game is at the Madison Square Garden. They better win that game. Seriously, they got to win that game. And that game's currently in the second quarter, about 9 minutes to go in that one. And in the second quarter, which is on ESPN, you got Dallas. Right now they're down by Memphis, 31-28. The second quarter just got started. And that game, to me, I got Dallas winning that game. I think it could go either way. But I think that Dallas is going to end up winning and holding on to the seventh seed. So a lot of these games are still important games, so no games have been decided. And like I said, later tonight at 10:30, we've got Golden State against Denver. They're pretty much the number 6 seed, so it doesn't matter if they win or lose that game. We got the Clippers at Portland. The Clippers should be watching the Detroit OKC game, and they should be rooting for Detroit. But they got to make sure they win tonight. And I think they will. I think the Clippers will beat Portland because Portland are going to be number 5. They pretty much know that. They could end up sitting some of their starters out. They should. They pretty much have the seed wrapped up. That game is a lot more important to the Clippers. And that's the second game of the ESPN doubleheader. That game takes place at 10:30 tonight. So that's going to be the only important game left that really hasn't even happened yet so far. So we're going to take one final break. When we come back, we're going to wrap the show up. And we got some things to talk about. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We're going to update the NHL games. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We got about 5 more minutes left of airtime, and we come to the end of our show. So I just want to say real quickly, just an update. The Pistons are up 46-37 in the second quarter against OKC. You can check out your local Fox broadcasting and check out the rest of the scores in that game. Just going to run down real quickly who's winning. I'm not going to really announce the scores. Right now, Washington, they're up on Boston still. Brooklyn, they're only down by a point to Cleveland right now as far as the important games. And like I said, OKC, they're losing by 9 to Detroit. Toronto, they're up by 16 over New York. Chicago, they're up by 2 points against Charlotte. That game, they got about 6 more minutes left to play in that game. So you can check out your local listings for all these games. And you can check out that Dallas-Memphis game. They're up by 2, Dallas is. That game is on ESPN right now. And good luck to all the teams, though, that are playing tonight. Pistons are trying to play spoiler. Boston's trying to play spoiler a little bit as far as, like, keeping Washington from getting a higher seed. Cleveland's trying to play spoiler. New York is trying to play spoiler. So some of these games are not over yet. So you can tune in and check out these games. You can tune in and check out that Clipper-Portland game. If OKC loses tonight, rest assured, you should watch the Clippers and Portland game, because that game will mean a whole lot to the Clippers if they can pull that game off and try and move into the number 2 seed if OKC ends up losing this game. And right now, Detroit is up 48-39. They got about 4 minutes left to play in the second quarter. So as we come to the end of the Rocket Sports Breakdown, I want to say thank you guys. Just to give you a quick heads up, yours truly, I did a show last night at the New Dodge Lounge in Hamtramck. Big ups to everybody who took the stage there. Earlier today, we reshot the interview that I did last year. We reshot it today. It's called Extras, the movie. That's the name of the film documentary project. We reshot it today. We might end up getting some more footage from me within the next couple weeks. We would like to get more footage of me actually doing something, like performing instead of just being interviewed, or just being like live at a comedy show or live at an audition or something like that. Tomorrow I will be at Laugh Tracks Comedy Club in Novi. So for all you people in the Michigan area, if you know where that is, please come through. Showtime is at 8 o'clock. It's $5. Well, actually, it's $3 to get in. It's called the Rising Star Showcase. Yours truly will be there, quite possibly hosting or MCing like I did 2 weeks ago when I was there. Next week, I got 3 shows expected to do. Next Monday, possibly New Way Bar in Farmington Hills. Next Tuesday, the Seven Brothers, which is also in Hamtramck. And then next Thursday, I'll be back at Laugh Checks again. So once again, thank you all for your never-ending support. Rocket humbly appreciates it. It means an awful lot. God bless every single one of you. We come to the end of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Thank you guys for all your never-ending support. Much love and shout-out to everybody that's out there doing their thing. Get ready for a power trip. Most definitely, get ready for a power trip. And with that being said, this is Rocket signing off. Take care of yourselves. Keep doing what you do. Make the best of your opportunities. See you guys next time.